We'll commence our season of worship this morning by singing together the hymn number 45. The hymn number 45, you'll find it on the page 194 of your hymn book. It's a great hymn of praise. It says, "A sinner saved, we gladly praise the author of redeeming grace. Father, 'tis thine almighty power secures us when the tempest lower." The hymn number 45, the page 194, standing as we sing. And let us sing it with all of our hearts. Let's stand as we sing. Just look to the Lord in prayer, seeking the Lord for His help and blessing in our time of worship today, that we know the Lord drawing near and speaking to our hearts, meeting the needs of all our hearts and souls today. Let us pray. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal, heavenly Father, we come into Thy presence, O God, this morning, the Sabbath morning. We come to Thee in no merit of our own. O God, we confess before Thee, O Lord, that we are vile and sinful, that in and of ourselves, O God, there dwelleth no good thing. O God, we must say with Isaiah of old, "Woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips." And Lord, we confess our sin, we acknowledge, we own it, O God, before Thee. Yet, O God, we thank Thee today that Thou art a God of grace. And Father, Thou art a God of mercy, and we thank Thee that scepter of grace and mercy is stretched out toward us. That the sinful sons of Adam's race, not through any merit or work of self or of man, but in and through the work and the precious name and the merits of Thy beloved Son, Thine only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of righteousness. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, even in the words of this hymn of which we've been singing, that Thou art indeed the author of redeeming grace. We thank Thee, O God, for the wonderful gift of Thy Son, that unspeakable gift, and sending Thy beloved Son into this world to be the propitiation for our sins. We thank Thee for His atoning death upon the cross of Calvary. We thank Thee, O God, that Christ kept the law of God perfectly for us. And he went as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before shears is dumb. And thy word says, he openeth not his mouth. Yet, O God, we thank thee that he went willingly. He went out of love and mercy and grace for our souls. And Father, we thank thee that upon that cross of Calvary, he bore upon himself and his own body to the tree the wrath of God, the judgment of God that we deserve for our sins. Lord, thy word declares that he bare our sin in his own body to the tree. And Father, we thank that he died, that he poured out his life unto death. He could cry out on the cross, it is finished. And Father, we thank you for that once for all, a sufficient sacrifice for sin, never to be repeated. And Father, we thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died, he was buried. But we thank thee that the third day he rose again victorious. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. Hallelujah, he arose. And Father, we thank thee today that Christ is seated at thy right hand in heaven's glory, as our great high priest, as our great intercessor. And Father, we rejoice, O God, today as thy people who are saved, that we are accepted in Christ, accepted in the Beloved. And Father, we can praise thee today for redemption through the blood of Christ. We thank thee, O God, for the joy and the knowledge of sins forgiven. Our sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to the cross, and we bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. We thank thee, O God, that thy word declares that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We thank thee, O God, for grace sufficient to meet our every need. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that thou hast brought us out of the devil's crowd into the family and fold of God. We thank thee that thou hast set our feet on the road to heaven, on the road to glory. And Father, we thank thee because of Christ we're saved from the wrath to come, and we're made sure of heaven and have everlasting life and glory before us as the people of God. And we thank thee that this is all due to thy grace and thy mercy and thy love and thy kindness, O God, toward us. And O Father, we pray that thou wilt bless our time of worship here today. Help us to worship thee in spirit and in truth, Lord. Grant, Lord, that the thoughts of our heart and the words, O God, of our lips would be acceptable in thy sight, O God. May our hearts and minds be taken up, O God, with thee. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt take away every distracting thought and care that is not of the Lord. And Father, do speak to us today around thy precious word. And Lord, have thy way in all our hearts and all our lives as thou would see our need. We thank thee for every believer in Christ in this meeting. Bless and encourage and strengthen thy people. Build thy people up, O God, in their most holy faith, we pray. We thank thee, O God, that we are safe and secure in the hands of Christ. Yet, Lord, we realize there's many battles and trials in this life. And we thank thee that thy grace is sufficient, that thou art our helper, thou art our strength. And help us, Lord, as thy people in every time of need, Lord, to look to thee, O God, we pray. For any today that are cast down, may they be lifted up, Lord, in the ways of God. Maybe others needing a word of counsel, a word of guidance. Be thou their guide, be thou their counselor, O God. Show them and teach them in the way that thou wilt have them to go. And Lord, for any with us maybe walking afar off from God today. Once maybe they walked well with thee, yet today that they're afar from thee. Lord, restore such unto thyself, we pray. And Lord, for any in our gathering who are not saved, still in that broad road to a lost eternity, speak to them, we pray. And Father, even today, save them by the grace and power of God. We thank that thou art able. Bless all our homes and our family circles. Meet the need of everyone. Unite our family circles in the Lord. We pray for those that are ill today, that are led aside, connected with us. Lord, touch them. Lay on thy healing hand upon them and raise them up to that good measure again of health and strength. Those who are in hospital, Lord, bless them especially and strengthen them, we pray. And others who, because of age and infirmity, can no longer come to thy house, minister to them, draw near to them, we pray today. And may our portion be their portion and more. And Lord, bless them in the ways of God. We think of those also, Lord, who would listen in online today. Wherever they are, Lord, whoever they are, draw near to them. Speak to them, we pray, through Thy Word. And Lord, have a word in season for them. And Lord, meet them at the point of their need. Bless our congregation. We think of the forthcoming autumn season, Lord, the Sunday school, the Bible class, the youth fellowship, the children's meetings, the various outreaches. Lord, may Your hand of blessing and grace and guidance be upon each one, we pray. Meet every need. And Lord, even through these ministries and the days that lie ahead, many not only will hear Thy Word, but many will come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember others who perhaps cannot be with us today because of holiday or other works of necessity and mercy. Bless them, minister to them, encourage them, and Lord, meet their need. Remember, O God, in mercy, this town of Enniskillen, this county of Fermanagh. And we pray, O God, that there would be a turning in the hearts of many away from sin and false religion and a turning unto Thee. Bless all our sister congregations today, Lord. We bring before Thee every minister, every student, every layman alike who will preach Thy Word. And Lord, wherever Thy Word is faithfully proclaimed today, not only here in Northern Ireland, we think of the south of Ireland, we think of the mainland of Britain, England, Scotland, and Wales. Lord, bless Thy people. Bless the cause of Christ. And in these days of ungodliness and, Lord, a great, as it were, falling away, we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt turn the hearts of many again unto the Lord. In wrath, remember mercy. Lord, revive Thy work, O God, in the midst of the years, as in former times, O God, we pray. Stay the plans and schemes of evil and ungodly men. And Lord, grant that the people again will have an ear and a hunger to hear the truth of God, to buy the truth and to sell it not. Have mercy, Lord, upon those who rule over us in our land. May they rule in righteousness and in accordance with Thy Word. Have mercy upon our queen and royal family. May the light of Thy truth, the light of the gospel, shine into that household, we pray. And even there we pray that there might be that turning to the Lord, that seeking of the Lord. Bless us now, we pray. Remember, O God, our missionaries as well, those that are far from home today, laboring for Thee, O God, in foreign lands. Bless them, encourage them, meet their need, keep them safe, and use them for the glory of the Lord. Bless us now, we pray, and have Thy way amongst us today, and glorify the Savior and all that will be said and done. For we ask these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. I'm going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 60. The hymn number 60 in the page number 200 of your hymn book. Jesus, Thou joy of loving hearts, Thou fount of life, Thou light of men, from the best bliss that earth imparts, we turn unfilled to Thee again. Hymn number 60, standing again as we sing. want to turn this morning, please, to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, to the chapter number 48, to the verse 1 of that chapter for our Bible reading. You'll find Jeremiah near the latter part of the Old Testament, one of the major prophets. We're turning to Jeremiah chapter 48, beginning our reading at the verse number 1 of the chapter. Let us hear God's precious word as we read it together this morning. Jeremiah chapter 48, the verse number 1. Against Moab, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, woe unto Nebo, for it is spoiled. Kerithim is confounded and taken. Misgab is confounded and dismayed. There shall be no more praise of Moab and Heshbon. They have devised evil against it. Come and let us cut it off from being a nation. Also thou shalt be cut down, O madmen. The sword shall pursue thee. A voice of crying shall be from Horamim, a spoiling and great destruction. Moab is destroyed. Her little ones have caused a cry to be heard. For in the going up of Luhith, continual weeping shall go up. From the going down of Horamim, the enemies have heard a cry of destruction. Flee, save yourselves, and be like the heath in the wilderness. For because thou hast trusted in thy works and in thy treasures, thou shalt also be taken. And Chemos shall go forth into captivity with his priests and his princes together. And the spoiler shall come upon every city, and no city shall escape. The valley also shall perish, and the plain shall be destroyed, as the Lord hath spoken. Give wings unto Moab, that it may flee and get away. For the cities thereof shall be desolate, without any to dwell therein. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. Cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Moab hath been at ease from his youth. He hath settled on his lees, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Neither hath he gone into captivity, therefore his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send unto him wanderers, that shall cause him to wander, and shall empty his vessels and break their bottles. And Moab shall be ashamed of Chemosh, as the house of Israel was ashamed of Bethel, of their confidence. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 13 of the chapter. Our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage, I want to welcome all today in the Lord's great name. It's good to see all have been able to gather with us today. We bid you a very warm welcome in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're visiting with us, we trust that you'll know God's blessing with us as you fellowship today around God's word. If you're a child of God, may you be strengthened in the things of God today. And if you know not Christ as Savior, our prayer, our burden is that today will be the very day of your salvation, that you will know the joy of your sins forgiven, that all is well with your soul, and that you're ready for heaven, and that you're ready for eternity. Also, for those who may be listening in online, we thank you for joining with us as well. And we pray the Lord will bless his word to your heart today. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember, please, the evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30. Trust as many as possible will gather for the time of prayer. And then that will be followed at 7 p.m. by the evening gospel service. We'll be long to minister God's word, pray for that meeting, and plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Tuesday night at 8 p.m., our brother, the Reverend John Woods, will be with us from our Presbytery Education Committee. He'll be doing a deputation meeting for the work of Christian education. He'll be bringing God's word, presenting that need, and showing also a video presentation. Also understand that some of the children from our Kilskerry Independent Christian School will be along to sing on that evening. Then there'll be an offering as well for the work of Christian education. So do remember that. Do come along. Do remember that work and be much in prayer for it and for our brother as he comes to bring the need of that work on Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. Friday night, the 2nd of September, 8 p.m., is our presbytery meeting in our Armagh congregation. And then also this coming Saturday, the 3rd of September at 8 p.m. in Aroma Church, there's a youth rally for all young people. And the preacher there is the Reverend Stephen Nelson. And next Lord's Day, the 4th of September, sees the restart, the recommencing of our Sunday school and Bible class that will recommence at 11 a.m. And our brothers asked me to stress 11 a.m., so don't be coming a wee bit later, but come before that and remember that. And pray for the Sabbath school and Bible class as it recommences and for the teachers. And again, if there's any children in your family or neighbouring that don't go to Sunday school, we'd be delighted to have them. Do speak to our superintendent, Mr. Ian Moore, about that. And we'll be glad to have the children along. So remember that, restarting next Lord's Day at 11 a.m. Then the service is next Lord's Day morning service at 12 noon. The evening service at 7 p.m. Next weekend, we're having special meetings to mark the 50th anniversary of the opening of the church building. That took place just on the 17th or the 19th of August, 1972. And the session is marking that occasion. We thank God for all His blessings since this building was opened 50 years ago. And the guest preacher in the morning at 12 noon will be our brother, the Reverend Ivan Foster, retired minister from our church in Koskiri, former minister here. And then also at 7 p.m., the guest preacher, the Reverend John Gray, minister of Tandragee Church and former minister here. And then the soloist at the evening, the guest soloist will be a brother, Mr. Stephen Patterson. So remember these meetings, make them known, and do all you can to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word, and pray for God's blessing upon the ministry of God's word next Lord's Day. Monday night, the 5th of September, 8 p.m. in our Dungannon Church, there's a prayer meeting for the work of Consider Christ Outreach. And then on Friday evening, the 9th of September, 8 o'clock, in our Clogher Valley Church is the reopening of the refurbished church hall. And the preacher there is the Reverend David Priestley. And then on Saturday, the 10th of September, sees the restart again of the Consider Christ Outreach down to Longford Town. Be much in prayer for that. And again, anyone wishing to come along, do let us know. Also, the annual Youth Council Youth Rally is in our Hillsborough Church. That's on Friday night, the 9th of September at 8 p.m. And the preacher is the Reverend Marcus Lecky. And then also, our Ladies' Fellowship meeting recommences on Monday night, the 12th of September at 8 p.m. And the speaker is Miss Margaret Russell, a retired missionary from Kenya. These announcements are all subject to the will of the Lord, but we'll be much in prayer for these meetings that God's blessing will be upon them. We're going to turn again in our hymn book to our next hymn. It's 440. 440. Now, we don't take up an offering, but do remember the offering plates as you leave. This is a wonderful hymn, really a prayer. The hymn writer says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way, thy gracious aid afford. Teach me thy way. Help me to walk aright, more by faith, less by sight. Lead me with heavenly light. Teach me thy way." We'll stand as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts. 440. Turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 48. And with God's Word open before us, let us bow, please, just in a brief word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in our gathering today, for the singing of Thy praises and the reading of Thy Word. And Lord, as we come now to the preaching of Thy Word, still our hearts, O God, before Thee. Take away distracting thoughts and cares that are not of Thee. And Lord, grant that our hearts today would be opened up like Lydia's of old, to attend to Thy Word, to attend to Thy voice. Whatsoever, Lord, Thou would say unto us today. Bless Thy truth to every believer in this gathering. May there be that building up, that strengthening of the saints in Zion. Bless Thy Word to the saving of the lost, to those that know Thee not as Christ the Savior. Speak to them today. And bless Thy Word to the glorifying and the magnifying of Thine own great name, O God, we ask. Lord, undertake now, I pray, fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. Be mouth, matter, and wisdom unto this preacher, we ask. Give right words, prevailing words. Hide man far behind the cross. Outpour Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now, the text of Scripture that we want to base our message upon today is verse number 10 of Jeremiah chapter number 48. I read that verse with you again. It says, "Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood." The chapter here before us that we've read from today, it tells of the Lord's judgment upon the ancient people of Moab. And this judgment was really because of their sin against the Lord and their despising of God's ancient people. Notice how mention is made of these things in the chapter. In verse 7 there of the chapter, the Lord is speaking about Moab. He says, "For because thou hast trusted in thy works and in thy treasures, thou shalt also be taken." Here were people who thought they were self-sufficient, that they did not need God, and they were taken up with their own treasures, their own works, the things of time and sense. No thought, no concern of God. There was no repentance amongst them as a nation. Look at verse 11 of the chapter. It says, "Moab have been at ease from his youth. He have settled on his lees and have not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore," notice it, "his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed." And those final words in particular speak of how there was no repentance, there was no turning from sin, there was no turning to the Lord. In fact, it was the very opposite. Here were a people who were full of pride, and they were a proud people who felt they did not need the Lord in any shape or form. And because of that, they were against the Lord. Look at verse 26 of the chapter. And here the Lord again is speaking about Moab. And he says, "Make ye him drunken." Notice it, "for he hath magnified himself against the Lord." They lifted up themselves against God and his word and his ways. And as a result of that, they had no care for God's people. They mocked God's people. They derided God's people. They despised God's people. Look at verse 27 of the chapter. It says, "For was not Israel a derision unto thee?" And this was the mark of the nation of Moab. Because of their sin, their rebellion against God, God was going to judge them. And God's instrument of judgment upon Moab was the Chaldean army. The army of the Chaldeans coming in and plundering their land and leaving behind death and destruction. And you see warning about that in verse 8 of the chapter, where God says, "And the spoilers shall come upon every city, and no city shall escape. The valley also shall perish, and the plain shall be destroyed, as the Lord has spoken." This was God's judgment upon them as a nation. Now, it's interesting to note through the chapter, and indeed through his servant Jeremiah of old, God here, he commands the Chaldeans to do this work of judgment well. In other words, they were to be thorough in this judgment. They were not to be negligent. And that command really is found in the words of our text this morning in verse 10 of the chapter, where it says, "Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood." And this was a warning from the Lord to the Chaldeans themselves. The warning was this, that if the Chaldeans withheld their sword from blood, then God's judgment would be upon them also as a people and as a nation. Now this warning here to the Chaldeans of old, it also serves, I believe, as a warning to the Church of Christ today and to God's people today. It's a warning, yes, against slothfulness in God's work and in the Church of Christ's witness for the Lord. It's a warning against negligence in these things. Yes, it is a warning, yes, to encourage thoroughness and dedication for the believer and of the Church of Christ in their work and in their witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, every Christian is saved for a purpose, and part of that purpose is to serve the Lord, to glorify the Lord, and to witness for Him here on earth. And the Christian, whoever he is, whoever she is, they are to use the talents that God has given to them for the service of the Lord. You remember the words of Paul as he writes to God's people and the church at Corinth. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." There Paul was encouraging God's people in the church at Corinth to give themselves to the service of the Lord and to witnessing for the Savior and living for Christ. And child of God, that a call still applies to you and I and to the Church of Christ today. Therefore, I want us to consider this text before us today. Verse 10 of Jeremiah chapter 48. For here we have God's warning, divine warning against slothfulness in the work and the witness of the Church of Christ for the Lord. And there's a number of things I want to set before you regarding this warning. Notice, first of all, here with me, the evidence of slothfulness in God's work and witness. Well, we can say this morning that reluctance to make any sacrifice is a sign of sloth. You remember what Paul said to the believers in the city of Rome? He said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And there he speaks of the Christian, as it were, giving up their life as a living sacrifice for God, the service of God and the witness of Christ. That's to be the mark of the believer, the Church of Christ, sacrifice, serving the Lord by a living sacrifice. You remember the words of Isaac Watts in that great hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." When he thinks of the cross work of Christ, he concludes that hymn by saying these words, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." And by the hymn writer Watts, he knew that the life of the Christian and the life of the Church of Christ was to be marked by sacrifice in the ways of God and in the things of God. Can you think of the words of David of old? He said, "Neither shall I offer unto the Lord that which hath cost me nothing." He knew that the life of the Christian was to be marked by sacrifice. Think again of what Christ said to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." In other words, he was instructing them in this matter of sacrificing and spending and being spent, as it were, for the things of God and the cause of Christ. That's how it is to be with you and I as Christians. And if we are not willing, as it were, to make sacrifice for God's work, then we're being slothful in our service for God and in our witness for Christ. We can say further this morning that formality also is a sign of slothfulness. In other words, when we serve the Lord without any heart or thought,
we become slothful. And again, Christ spoke of such in his own day here on earth when he says, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart, he says, is far from me. Child of God, how is it with you today as you seek to serve the Lord and witness for him? Are you in a rut as it were just going through the form and the motion, so to speak? Oh, formality is a sign of sloth. We can say further this morning that half-heartedness is also a sign of slothfulness. In other words, if we do not serve the Lord in accordance to our ability, then we are being half-hearted. Yes, God's work, it calls for wholeheartedness in the things of God. You remember the counsel of David to his son Solomon. He says, Solomon, regarding the Lord, he says, serve him with a perfect heart. In other words, Solomon, be wholehearted in your witness for God, in your service for the Lord. That applies to you and I also today as Christians. Turn in your Bible back to Ecclesiastes chapter number 9 and the verse number 10. Look at what it says there. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and the verse number 10. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And here we're reminded as Christians, we have only an allotted time here on earth to serve the Lord. And when our time on earth is up, our time for serving the Lord on earth will be up also. Therefore, when time and opportunity is on our side, we are to do it, it says, with our might. In other words, with every fiber of our being, we are to serve the Lord. We are not to be half-hearted. And we can say further this morning that stopping God's service because of difficulties is also a sign of sloth. That was the mark of the children of Ephraim. The psalmist speaks of them and he says these words. He says, the children of Ephraim being armed, turned back in the day of battle. They were armed. They had all that they needed for the battle. Yet they turned back because of some difficulty along the way. And you know, there are many of God's people and they give up their service for the Lord because they really make, as it were, a mountain out of a molehill of some difficulty or some opposition in the way. Christian, the Lord says to you and I in His Word, He says, we are to serve the Lord with gladness. By God's grace, Christian, go on serving the Lord, standing for the Lord, living for Him, witnessing for Him, whatever obstacles or trials may be in the way. Oh, the evidence, yes, of sloth in God's work. But then we see in the second place, not only the evidence of sloth in God's work, but the cause of sloth in God's work. What is the cause of it? Why does it happen? Well, we can say that worldliness can be part of the cause. Sadly, many Christians, they try to serve the Lord and the world at the same time. And that cannot be. That was the case with a man called Demas. Paul speaks of Demas as he writes to Timothy and he says this, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved the present world, and is departed. There was a time when Demas was a fellow missionary with Paul. He labored with Paul. He served the Lord with Paul. But the world came into Demas's heart. And Paul says to Timothy, now he is departed. The world took over. And child of God, the Lord warns you and I about this in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon's another title there for the world. Oh, believer, if you and I set our heart upon the world, then it'll not be long before we're away from God's work and witnessing for the Lord. Then another cause also of sloth is unbelief. John Calvin, the reformer, says that unbelief makes us rebels and deserters. In other words, unbelief causes us and leads us to rebel against God. It leads us, as it were, to go away from God and the things of God and the very service of God. And this is something we need to watch against as God's people. No one is immune from unbelief in the Church of Christ. Turn with your Bible over to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and the verse number 12.
Look here at what the writer to the Hebrews says. And here the writer is speaking to God's people in his day and to every member of the Church of Christ today, to you and I who are saved. Hebrews chapter 3 and the verse number 12. He says there, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Notice the outworking of unbelief. It leads us away from God, to depart from God, to depart from the ways of God, the work of God, the witness of Christ. Child of God, I encourage you this morning to pray daily that the Lord would deliver you and keep you, and keep us each one from unbelief. Pray day by day, dear child of God, that the Lord would increase your faith, that the Lord would strengthen our faith. Remember, the Bible says that with God, all things are possible. There's no limit with God. Then we can say further that a lack of love also can be a cause for sloth in the Christian's work and witness for Christ. In other words, the service of the Lord does not have first place in their life. Well, the Bible shows you and I that the service of the Lord is to be done with love and with compassion. In Paul's great chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, he says there, "Charity never faileth." There he was speaking to the Christian, to the child of God. You think of how it is in marriage and the relationship of a husband and a wife. What is it that keeps a husband and wife together in all the ups and downs of life and all the battles and trials and difficulties of life? It is love. Love one for the other. A believer in Christ this morning, yes, a heart full of love for Christ will keep you wedded to the Lord. It will keep you wedded to the work of God, the witness of Christ, and your service for the Lord. The Apostle Jude says to you and I as believers, he says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." The mark of the end times is this. It says, "The love of many shall wax cold." You remember how the Lord spoke to one of His churches in the early chapters of the book of the Revelation. He commended them for many things, and then He made this statement. He says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." They did not love the Lord as they did in former times. And as a result was, there was a falling away from the Lord and the service of God and the witness of Christ and the work of God. Child of God, pray day by day that God would keep your heart in love with Himself, full and overflowing with love for God and love for Christ and love for the things of this world. Then we can say further this morning that fear also can be a means or a cause of sloth in the life of the Christian, in the life of the Church of Christ. The Bible says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." And Christian, I say to you today, do not let the fear of man, do not let the fear of circumstances, whatever they are, keep you back from serving the Lord, witnessing for Christ, standing for the Lord. Let not the fear of man hold you back. Christian, God is a wonderful promise, I tell you, to still and to calm all your fears. Turn with me in your Bible back to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41 and the verse number 10. Just look at what is said there. And Christian, here's a verse, mark it in your Bible. It will calm your fears. It will dispel your fears when you come to serve the Lord. And maybe you feel, "Oh, I can't do this for the Lord. I'm not able." Or the fear of man would keep you back. "Oh, I'm afraid. What will people say? Or what will be the consequences if I do this for the Lord?" Look at verse 10 of Isaiah 41. The Lord says, "Fear thou not." Don't be afraid, Christian. He says, "For I am with thee." This is the Lord. The Lord Almighty, our Savior, the great I Am, who is altogether sufficient. He says, "Be not dismayed." He says, "For I am thy God." He says, "I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And believer, in your fears and serving the Lord promises to be with you.
He promises to strengthen you. He promises to help you. He promises to uphold you. And the Lord cannot fail. Oh, do not let the fear of man, the fear of others, the fear of the world, the fear of circumstances keep you back from serving the Lord and being a witness for Christ. Recently there, I was reading the testimony of an old saint of God who's long since gone home to glory. Way back many years ago, he was saved and he thought he would try and hide his light under a bushel. But somehow or other, this is back in the early 1900s, he got involved with the Salvation Army. And in those days, they were bright and fervent and zealous for the Lord. And he went to one of their meetings one Lord's Day. And from that day onward, he was encouraged to be out and out for the Lord. And that was the mark of his life, the mark of his testimony. He lived to over 100 years. And for the rest of his days, he sought to spread the word of God, give out gospel tracts, literature, preach in the open air, wherever he was after his day's work was done and at the weekend when time was free. But God gave him grace and courage to stand for the Lord. And to witness for him. What a testimony he left behind to the community in which he lived. He overcame those initial fears as a young believer in Christ. Stepped out for God. And God richly blessed him and used him for his honor and for his glory. Christian, do not let fear keep you back from serving the Lord and doing the will of God. Yes, we see here the evidence of sloth, the cause of sloth. Notice, thirdly here, notice the outcome. Oh, stuff, what are the consequences? Well, look at what our text says there. In Jeremiah 48 and verse 10, it says, "Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood." And that verse really speaks of God's curse, really, as it were, upon sloth in his work. And that really would show you and I as Christians that sloth in our work and witness for Christ is no light thing with God. It's something that is very serious with the Lord. And in fact, God in His Word, He shows us that He regards sloth in His work and witness as something that is wicked in the sight of God. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said to that man who hid his talent in the parable of the talents in Matthew's Gospel? Christ describes him in these words. He says, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." He hid his talent while others used their talents. And that shows us that sloth is a serious thing in the sight of God. People, when we are overcome by sloth in our work and witness for Christ and are negligent in our work and witness for the Lord, we sin against the Lord. We grieve the Lord, our God, and our Savior. That's something here that is implied in our text today. And it says, "Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. Cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood." Also, something else that is a consequence of a sloth, and that is lack of fruit. You think of the law of the harvest. The Bible says, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." You think of the farmer, if he does not plow his field in spring or autumn and sow the seed, there will be no harvest, there will be no yield in the autumn time. Likewise, dear people, if we do not labor for the Lord as we should, we'll hinder the advance of God's work and God's kingdom here on earth. You see, the Bible says, "In all labor there is profit." Never forget that, Christian, whatever you do for the Lord, the Bible says, "In all labor, there's profit." God's law of the harvest will stand to the end of time. Whatsoever a man sows, he shall also reap. And if we sow much for God, we will reap much for God. Yes, sloth, it grieves the Lord. It leads to lack of fruit. We can say further that sloth will hinder us as Christians in our own spiritual growth as believers. You think today of an athlete. That athlete does not train, if they do not work out, their muscles and their strengths will not grow and develop as it should. And likewise, Christian, it is God's will that you and I grow in grace. The Bible says at the end of 2 Peter, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God wants you and I to go on, to press on in our witness and in our faith. And child of God, can I say to you today, laboring for the Lord, serving the Lord, witnessing the Lord is a means to accomplish that purpose in your life as a Christian, as a child of God. It's a means to help us on, to cause us to grow in the ways of God. I say to you, Christian today, child of God in the meeting, whether you're saved recently or saved a long time, get involved in God's work. Don't shy away from serving the Lord and witnessing for the Lord. Start with the prayer meeting. Come to the place of prayer, the most important meeting for the Church of Christ and the most important meeting for the life of the believer. Yes, there may be times when sickness can keep us away from the midweek prayer meeting or other works of necessity and mercy, but child of God, make it your business to be at the place of prayer, week by week, praying, seeking God, calling upon God. My, whenever there's young children in the home, then husbands and wives should take it in turns, week by week, to get out to the house of God, to get out especially to the place of prayer. When opportunities come, Christian, to serve the Lord, maybe through door-to-door work, giving out a tract, helping in children's work, Sunday school, whatever, open-air work, whatever, get involved. God will help you. God will bless you. God will strengthen you through your witness and through your service. And you will grow in grace. You will press on with the Lord. And my, let us be careful lest sloth hinder us in our walk with God and growing in our faith. We can say further that sloth also can be a hindrance to others. The Bible says, no man liveth unto himself. You know, over the years, there's been many a young Christian has started out well, full of zeal, the things of God, but that zeal has been checked in the service for God, and it has been checked by the cold influence of another Christian who has become formal in their work for God and in their walk with God. And as a result, that they've hindered that other young believer going on with the Lord. I've seen that many, many times in the work of God over the years. The Bible says none of us liveth unto himself. Again, you think of how it is in sport. Why is it that younger people in that younger generation give themselves to sport and athletics, whatever it is? It's because of the zeal and the enthusiasm and maybe the success of older sportsmen and sportswomen in their field. And encourages that younger generation to rise up and to take the baton, as it were. And child of God, I say to you this morning, by being faithful in service, you will encourage others also to serve the Lord in your day and generation. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. I remember the first time that I ever prayed in a public prayer meeting many years ago. I was just a young man, young in the faith. Really didn't even know what I was saying in the prayer meeting. But I remember an older saint of God came over to me after. He shook my hand. He says, young man, it's good to hear you praying in the prayer meeting. You keep at it. And God will bless you. God will encourage you. He was an encourager. And that was his ministry. He wasn't a preacher. He was just an elderly gentleman that went to the prayer meeting week by week, who walked with God, who loved the Lord, who served the Lord. And when he saw a young person in particular stepping out for God and doing something for the Lord, he was there to encourage them to press on in the things of God and in the cause of Christ. Christian, by you living for the Lord, you will encourage others. It will rub off on others to serve the Lord and to witness for Him. What then is the remedy for sloth? Well, we need to consider, yes, God's curse upon slothful service. Our text says there, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. Cursed be he that keepeth back a sword from blood. And that word cursed, it has a meaning of bitterness, of desolation, of losing out and of forfeiting the blessing of God, of not enjoying God's blessing as we should. That's something, people, we need to consider as a remedy for sloth. Also a sense of our duty as Christians. Turning your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And look at what you read at the end of that chapter. Verses 19 and 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." In light of God's redeeming work and redeeming grace in our lives, Christian, you and I have been saved to serve the Lord. That's our duty. And my, when we've done our best, the Bible says we are only unprofitable servants at best. Oh, that's our duty until Christ comes or calls us home. The hymn writer says, "He chose me for a service. His only it must be." And we're putting the Lord first. Yes, we need to consider the warning of our text. We need to consider it is our duty, yes, to serve the Lord. But also, Christian, think today of the need of the world. How desperate is the need of our world today? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, it says, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." What does it mean for a person to be lost? It means them to not know God, to be separated from God, to be shut off from God and the things of God, to be under the sentence of divine wrath and judgment, to be on their way to a lost eternity in hell, in the lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. People think about it today. We have unsaved family members, friends, neighbors, work colleagues, people that we know. And they're dying in their sin. They're perishing in their sin. They have no hope. The Bible says they have no hope in this life. No hope when they come to die. No hope beyond the grave. And if they are to have hope in life, if they are to have hope in eternity, then we must serve the Lord and witness to them and do all we can to spread the gospel and to speak to them about the Lord and their need of Christ and their need of salvation. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the church at Corinth. He says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Paul was a persuader of men. He talks there about the terror of the Lord. He's speaking of the judgment of God, the wrath of God upon the ungodly, upon the unsaved. And as he thought of that, he says, "We persuade men." And what was his influence upon King Agrippa? Agrippa says, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Agrippa was one of the most ungodliest men of his day, yet Paul did not shrink back from witnessing to him of Christ and his way of salvation. He sought to persuade him to come to Christ. That is why, dear Christian, we need to be zealous for God. This is a dark, dark world. There's no hope in this world. No hope in false religion. There's no hope in sin, but heartbreak and sorrow and grief and ruin. But praise God, there's hope in Christ. There's hope in the gospel. There's thousands, hundreds of young people here in Enniskillen and have no hope whatsoever. Living in awful darkness. What a responsibility you and I have as believers, as a church. We thank God for 50 years that have gone by. But people, the challenge is just as great and the need perhaps is greater today than ever. Let us not hold back our sword in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. And if there's one in the meeting today and you're not saved, oh, that you would see this today, that you are under the wrath of God. There's only hope for you in Christ. And as a needy sinner, you need to repent of your sin. Come by faith to Christ and trust in His atoning work and sacrifice alone for your salvation. And praise God, the promise of Christ is, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." One final thing, dear believer, that should encourage us to be zealous for the Lord, and that is our reward. It's a reward, yes, of grace. When we faithfully serve the Lord on earth, God will bless. And the book of James, the Word of God says of those who obey the Lord and seek to serve Him, says this man shall be blessed in his deed. The Lord says, them that honor me, I will honor. Christian, don't lose sight of that as you serve the Lord. Turn back or turn over, please, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, the ninth chapter of the book of Mark. Look with me there at verse number 41. Look at what Christ says here. Mark chapter 9, verse 41. He says, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name. And a cup of water is something very, very small and insignificant in the eyes of man and the eyes of the world. But Christ says, whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily, I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Maybe, Christian, you're involved in some aspect of God's work and no one else knows about it. Something between you and the Lord. Sometimes you think, why should I bother? Why should I do what I've been doing maybe for many years or for such a long time? Well, think of these words, dear Christian. The Lord says, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. There's a reward for you. There's a reward for you, believer in glory. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And look at what Paul says here to you and I, who are saved as believers, in verse number 2 of the chapter. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Notice those words of the joy that is set before him. That was the joy of Christ's atoning work. Sinners being saved, been brought into the family of God, been brought into heaven, a great multitude that no man can number. And Christian, as you and I go through life looking unto Christ for to serve the Lord, remember that our prize is in heaven. Our prize is in glory. This world is not our home. This world is not our prize. We're but pilgrims passing through. Let us then be faithful to the Lord. The Lord says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Let us follow in the steps of Christ himself. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man could work. Christ never shrunk back from serving his Father and doing the Father's will. He could say to his heavenly Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. Child of God, by God's grace, may this be the testimony of you and I until Christ comes or calls us home. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together hymn number 509. 509 on the page 381. I love my Master. I will not go out free, for he is my Redeemer. He paid the price for me. I would not leave his service. It is so sweet and blessed. And in the weariest moments, he gives the truest rest. 509 will stand as we sing.
Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence, for help given to minister Thy Word, and bless Thy Word and bless Thy truth. Apply it by Thy Holy Spirit to all our hearts, individually and collectively as a people. Help us in our day in which we live as those who are saved to live for Thee, to serve Thee, to witness for Thee, to do what we can, Lord, to spread the gospel to needy souls. For any, Lord, in our meeting today and they have no hope, they're under the sentence of divine wrath and judgment. Speak to them today, Lord. And oh, may they flee to Christ today. May they run to Christ. May they trust Him whom to know is life eternal. Part us with Your fear and favour. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless us throughout this Thy day. Return us again in Thy will this evening, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And amen.